Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you this morning, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. God, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. In your bulletin are some sermon notes with some meditations for the week. If you're listening online, if you go next to the download for the audio, there will be a PDF that you can download that also includes the sermon notes and meditations, which I encourage you to use as you keep in touch with God throughout the week. Now in today's scripture, Jesus, as he is speaking to the people gathered around him, finally gets on a particular theme about a third of the way through the sermon. And my guess is that either he sees some of the Pharisees standing in the crowds around him, or maybe some teachers of the Jewish law hanging out, or he's simply speaking to the hearts of those who are listening to him then, plus those who would be listening to him throughout the ages down to us today, you and me. But about a third of the way through, he begins to speak about how to give to the needy, to pray and to fast without being a performer in front of others. The word Jesus uses here is a Greek word. It's hypokritos, which translated for us today is hypocrite. Jesus says, beginning with Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, in the midst of this Sermon on the Mount, be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Again, we need to note that. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. If you do, no reward from your Father in heaven. This really is the theme Jesus will hit upon right here. A reward here, or a reward in heaven. And a reward here is not near as priceless as a reward in heaven, I would think. And so as he continues on in Matthew 6, 2, so when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. The synagogues, of course, were the Jewish houses of worship, and the hypocrites Jesus was referring to wanted to be honored by others more than God. And within the synagogue, that would probably be the Pharisees or the teachers of the law. Again, a reward here or a reward in heaven. Because as Jesus says at the end of this, then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Moving on to prayer, Jesus gives a similar warning again in Matthew 6, 5. And when you pray, do not pray like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Where are they standing? In the synagogues. And again, Jesus finishes this by saying, truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Again, a reward here or a reward in heaven. And Jesus says, and the Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And then Jesus goes on to the third topic, fasting, which is the giving up of food for the express purpose of spending more time with God. And again, Matthew 6:16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. And again, Jesus finishes by saying, truly I tell you, say it with me, they have received their reward in full. A reward here or a reward in heaven. And Jesus says, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, when we look at the definition of a hypocrite, It's defined as either one, an actor or stage player, or two, a dissembler or pretender. An actor or stage player, a dissembler or pretender. For this first meaning of the word, you can see how the idea of a stage player or an actor would be a hypocrite. Someone who acts as if they are another person on stage. That is, they're really not acting the part of the real them, who they really are, but they are pretending to be someone else. But what I found to be interesting is the second way this word is defined. The pretender has that connotation of an actor, only it doesn't happen on a theatrical stage. It happens in everyday life, pretending to be something you're not. But dissembler added another twist for me to the understanding of what a hypocrite is. Note in your notes, a dissembler is a person who professes beliefs and opinions that they do not hold in order to conceal their real feelings or motives. Again, a dissembler is a person who professes beliefs and opinions that they do not hold in order to conceal their real feelings or motives. I was told the story of a bank manager some time ago who managed a local bank in a small community back in the 40s or 50s. William was a man who attended church every Sunday. Neither rain nor shine, snow nor sleet, heat nor gloom of day would keep him away. Every Sunday, William attended church. And yes, William was a Christian at the big church in this very little town. But come Monday morning, maybe even Sunday afternoon, he would, like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, morph into a different person. His language would change. His demeanor toward his family and bank employees changed. And the employees, I'm sure some of them attended the same church. He was truly a dissembler, a man who professed Christian beliefs and opinions that he really did not hold in order to conceal his real feelings or beliefs. And maybe like the Pharisees and teachers of the law, what was really important to William was positional power and wealth and the prestige that came along with it. And Jesus' words come to mind. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. A reward here or a reward in heaven. And as Jesus says, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now the person who told me of William told me of it more than two full generations after his life had ended. It struck me that this man's attempt at spirituality as a dissembler wasn't hidden on his generation or in his generation, and that this part of his story was still being remembered and told generations later. Not his prowess as a bank manager, not his love for his family or community, or his love for Jesus and the church. No, what was truly remembered was his hypocrisy as a Christian, which causes us all to look for a moment as we look at our own lives today. Not the person to our left, not the person to our right, or the person in front or behind us, or the person we wish could have been here to hear this today, but for you. Jesus says these words to you today. We need to note that it is hypocrisy, professing Christian beliefs and opinions that we really do not hold in order to conceal our real feelings or beliefs. It is hypocrisy which causes many outside of the church to say, I want no part of Christianity. Many people outside of the church will say, I want no part of Christianity. There are just too many hypocrites in church. You see, this theme of hypocrisy is another barrier, a wall, an obstacle which tends to keep people who are outside of the church from wanting to be a part of God's work in and through the church. I think we need to really note that the most important character trait people look for in people that they want to associate with is this. It's authenticity. Authenticity. When we are truthful and genuine with others, when we operate transparently with others, we gain credibility with them. And as a result, within the church, we look like normal people trying to live out our lives to the glory of God. I've had an opportunity to get to know Sam over the course of a few years, and even though we've really only spoken on three occasions. You see, when we first met, Sam didn't seem very open to speaking about spiritual things. Sure, we spoke about the weather and about family, and for a time, I tested the water of spiritual things, but he wasn't open to it. In fact, at one point, he told me as much. And at that point, the conversation turned to other topics. The second time we spoke, he seemed more open to spiritual conversation, and I discovered that he had had some difficulties in life and through AA or Alcoholics Anonymous had years ago turned his life around. And as a part of his journey into sobriety, he came to believe in God. And I learned on our last encounter that he had even read through the Bible one time, but he still had no use for the church. You see, it seemed to him that the church was very divided, each preaching their own version of God, and the infighting within the church that took place was not pleasing. And he mentioned to me the hypocrisy of those who attended was not very attractive to him. And again, I hear Jesus say, "For truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full." It's kind of funny to me that if one reads the Bible, we need to note that one of the most important lessons we should learn from the Bible is how God is constantly dealing with very broken people. What we should learn from the Bible is how God is constantly dealing with very broken people. People who hide behind their fears and insecurities. People who laugh at what God says God will do. People who lie and steal and cheat. People who have committed adultery and then murder. People who say they love God, but then worship idols and at the very least soil God's name. People who say they give God their all but are tight-fisted with their talents, their gifts, and their finances. People who are boastful and proud but show themselves as cowards when confronted with who Jesus really is. People who are sarcastic and skeptics and doubters. People who want power at any cost. And certainly there are those who pretend to be Christians who indeed are desperately trying to hide their faults and their failures. You see, I think we note that many are simply sinners, not hypocrites. People are simply sinners, not hypocrites. And as God deals with all these types of people, I have to ask myself, who's left? Who is left? Who is left that hasn't been disobedient to God or what we call sin? Who's left who hasn't acted unlovingly toward another fellow human being, or even at the level of hating someone? You see, we're reminded in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And Paul goes on to say in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." The payment for our disobedience to God, our inability to truly love God, is death. Not just the idea of physical death, but the understanding of eternal separation from a holy and pure God who is without sin. And yet Paul does not leave us here. He ends this verse by adding these very important words, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in this I am. In fact, I believe we are all eternally grateful to God for giving us a chance for life through Jesus' death on a cross. Yet from the outside, it seems like the church is indeed full of hypocrites. And granted, there are the Williams in the world who pretend to be someone they are not. But I wouldn't say the church is full of hypocrites. I would say no. I note that indeed the church is full of sinners who are sharing a journey together to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Again, the church is full of sinners who are sharing a journey together to know God, to love God, and to serve God. Hey, let's fess up. We're imperfect people in need of a forgiving God who has created the church to be a place where people can learn about God, be forgiven by God, and be set free for living a life with God. Yes, there are times. There are times we all pretend we are better than we are. And more often than not, it's because we are too embarrassed to talk about our failures in life and with God. In fact, I would say we are ashamed that we have done or thought the things we have. And as a result, we don't open up to others. And we hide these failures, putting up a front. We wear masks so that others cannot see how low we have sunk in this thing we call life. Here's my analogy. For the church is like a hospital. For the church is like a hospital. In the church, you'll find people with varying degrees of bad health, what I call sin, looking for healing so they can be more healthy, or what we can call holy. And in the church, like the hospital, you'll find people with varying degrees of sickness or wholeness, some whose lives are in shambles because they are in desperate need of Jesus, and others who have known Jesus for a long time but still fall short occasionally. And at a hospital, you'll find people in a church attempting to help others to lead healthier or holier lives. And yet they too need to find health and wholeness. You see, I would believe that a church should be full of people in various degrees of spiritual health. We would expect people who are coming in, who may curse God, who may be very rough around the edges. Because they are, we need to be inviting to them. We need to let them know that we too have fallen short, that they are not alone, and that we're all on this journey together to health and wholeness, or to holiness. I believe we as Christians must throw off the shackles and fear of being less than perfect people. We must throw off pride and not only understand we fall short, but be willing to admit it when we do. And seek the one who gives us the forgiveness we need, and quit looking to point out the faults of others. I see this as the chief cause of all others calling Christians hypocrites. We point out others' failures as though we are perfect people. And it comes across as though we are looking down our noses like a hypocrite. Now, I think we need to note that the battle against hypocrisy begins with humility. Humility. Daily humbling ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord, it says, will lift you up. Let the Lord lift you up. And be willing to take a real look at your own life. Even be willing to let one or two trusted others who are seeking Christ the opportunity to speak into your life, to be honest, to be real with one another. I like how the old-time preacher Billy Sunday once put it, "Going to church doesn't make you a Christian, any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian any more than standing in a garage makes you a car. Like that banker William, you can come to church on Sundays, but it's the daily time spent with God and regularly submitting your lives to God which will help you to live life with humility, a life that is authentic, a life that is transparent, a life that is inviting to others. Do you want your reward now with men or later with God? So this week, there are three things that I've listed that you can do or attempt to do. At least do one or two, and if you can, do all three. But this week, let me challenge you to order your life with humility. Be willing to admit your faults, your shortcomings, first to God. Allow God to show you where you need to shore up your own life. Find a friend or a journal, or journal how God is helping you to become more aware of who you are. I saw this comment, don't let your lips and your lives preach two different messages. Don't let your lips and your lives preach two different messages. For when we are real with ourselves, we will be more careful with our words. Number two, truly seek God first each morning this week. When you rise up in the morning, take time with God. Say a prayer in bed. Use these meditations. They only take about 5 minutes, or allow those questions to kind of remain with you through the day. And ask, what is God's best for me today, and how can I be more like Jesus? Gandhi, an Indian spiritualist, said this, I don't reject your Christ. I love your Christ. It's just that so many of you Christians are so unlike your Christ. You see, the more we seek to order our lives like Jesus, to become like Jesus, the more we will be like Jesus. And number three, the third challenge, be authentic with yourself and with those you meet each day. Be authentic with yourself and with those you meet each day. God uses those who humbly know themselves and don't pretend to be something they're not. And it begins by being real with God, by being real with yourself, and then by being real with others. What is it in your life that you need to give over to God? What is it in your life that is creating barriers which keeps you from seeking God, which keeps you from allowing God to use you in powerful ways? We don't want to be hypocrites. We don't want to be people like William, who attend church on Sundays, but it turns into somebody else Monday through Saturday. Oh, come on, we all fall short. What is it that you need to give to the Lord today? To place on the altar and say, Lord, you take this from me. Or more, Lord, I give this to you. Because it is keeping me from being more like Christ. Friends, seek first the kingdom of God and all will be added unto you. Allow God room in your life to help you to be not a hypocrite, but someone who is moving from a life of disobedience to God to a life of wholeness and holiness, a life more pleasing to God. Let us pray. God, we are grateful for your love, your grace, and your mercy, which is never ending. And ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to give over our lives to you, as we continue to seek to be more authentic with those around us and more honest with you, Lord, that you would use us. God, that you would bring healing and wholeness to our lives, that you would bring freedom and joy and rest, that we might be fully yours. In Jesus' name, amen.